Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Bryant Ellis, your host. Thanks for tuning into my podcast. Another quick episode coming at you guys really quick. I don't know why I said that. Sound like an idiot. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning in. And I'm doing this challenge, the 75-day challenge, where every day I'm trying to record something, whether it's like a 15-minute podcast or an hour-long podcast. And then obviously some of these podcast episodes are going to be scheduled with guests. And I'm really excited for those, some really exciting guests this year that I get the privilege to interview. So today, however, I don't have a very long topic to go over, but it's a very, very important topic for creatives, entrepreneurs, ambitious people, and that is boredom and creativity. It's a very simple concept, but I truly believe that boredom breeds crazy amounts of creativity. We live in a culture where we are always entertained. We're never bored. You might think you're bored, but for those millennials who remember what it's actually like, or in baby boomers who remember what it's like to be truly bored, you're sitting outside twiddling your thumbs in 105 degree weather with actually nothing to do. That's not the case now. We always have something to do. We always have something to play with. We're always scrolling, always going through media. Our smartphones have completely eliminated boredom, and in return, I think it's quenched a lot of creativity. We use our imagination a lot when we're bored because our brain is also trying to figure out ways to entertain us. We're thinking, we're imagining, we're having fake arguments with our significant other or our friends. We're imagining scenarios taking place in our life, whether good or bad. We're imagining the worst case scenario, we're imagining the best case scenario. You might realize, you know, when you go take a shower in the morning, your brain is flooded with thoughts. You're contemplating everything. It's like being in the shower is some of the only bored alone time you get with your brain sometimes. Because even when you're sitting on the toilet taking a dump, you have your smartphone. When you're, you know, standing in line at the DMV, you have your smartphone. There's very few things in our life that force us to be truly bored and with our thoughts. And taking a shower is one of those things. And I don't know, maybe I've seen the inventions where you can put your phone in like a little pouch and you can put it on the shower wall so you can be entertained while you're taking a shower. But most of us don't. Most of us leave the phone on the counter, get in the shower, and our brains go crazy. All this information, all these thoughts. You know, where's my birth certificate? How can I take over the world? Oh, what so-and-so said to me yesterday. Did she mean to be an asshole about that? Was she trying to be nice? Just overload. And the thing is we don't give our brains enough time to really unload, process, and release information. It's that 5, 10, 15-minute shower we take every morning that's getting all of the brain dump. And I have to say, my best ideas have come from being bored, from separating myself from media, entertainment, things that grab your attention, and starting to go a little bit crazy. My most successful idea, the adventure challenge, came from me being alone with my thoughts. I was actually in prayer. I wasn't even praying about anything specific. I wasn't, you know, interceding, telling God I need an idea. I was literally just sitting in my room, listening to some worship music and talking to him, or even just being quiet and sitting there. And then out of nowhere, my brain was like, wouldn't this be cool? A scratch-off adventure book. And I was like, yeah, that would be cool. I typed it on my phone, put it down, and went back to my time with the Lord. And fast forward 6 years, and it's a $100 million company. And whenever I got the idea for the adventure challenge, when I was creating it, coming up with ideas, coming up with, you know, adventures, ways to, you know, format the book, all of these things, I was in a really rough place in life where I felt really disconnected from all community, from all leaders. I got in trouble at church and felt pretty like disowned and kind of thrown out. And it was a really painful season of life. And so I didn't want to be on social media. I didn't want to connect with people. I didn't want to be part of community. And so I just stayed home and did a lot of thinking and spent a lot of time with the Lord. And through that, a lot of my ideas and creativity for my company actually came to life. And I remember living, this is just one example. I remember living in San Francisco. And I had a smartphone back then, but social media wasn't as scrollable as it is now. You know, you kind of jump on it, you were to jump on Instagram, browse through the friends you follow, and that was kind of it. They had a page where you could discover, but it wasn't as popular. Scrolling just wasn't as much of a thing. And I really remember living in San Francisco, being so bored, I would just pace in circles in the apartment I was living in. Just pace in circles for no reason, because I didn't know what to do. Just thinking of what should I do. And I would get all of these ideas for sketch comedies, short films, creative projects, and I'd create them. Go, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to write this down, and I would do them. And I did so many projects that way. And I essentially became the creative director for this ministry called Revive San Francisco. And I essentially, you know, did all the media projects. And a lot of those ideas just came from me being bored and sitting with my thoughts and allowing my creativity to create. And I want to encourage you to find moments in your day to allow yourself to be bored and quiet and let your mind wander. This isn't meditating. Meditating is turning off the thoughts, being with yourself, you know. And this is allowing your brain to kind of wander. I would say to direct it slightly. Depending on the relationship we have with ourselves, when we let our minds wander, if there's a lot of self-hatred, it can go into accusational mode, where you start to pick out and think of all your social interactions that you've had with every human being and figure out all the ways that you're just a piece of shit human being. And you guys know what I'm talking about, who have struggled with this. The accusational thoughts that happen. Oh man, at school the other day, I said this. I sounded like an idiot. These are accusational thoughts. These are not good. Don't listen to those. Turn those off. Change the channel. The other one could be, you know, you start to look for a problem. Your brain, and this is a survival instinct that we all have. And this is why it's really hard for a lot of people to find happiness, especially rich people, because they think that, you know, getting money or obtaining wealth or fame or whatever brings happiness. And you were never wired to be content or satisfied. Like, your brain was actually not wired to be content or satisfied. It was wired to constantly be looking for problems to survive, to always be looking for what's wrong, what can I fix, what can I do better, what can I get more of, and, you know, to store food and to, you know, stock up money for winter. And that's not how we live today in society. We do not need that. And what's crazy is a lot of us get stuck in problem, you know, or I'd say a problem finding mode. It's not even problem solving. It's just finding problems and stressing out about it and going into panic and anxiety. And that's why a lot of us don't like being alone with our thoughts, because a lot of times we have these, you know, horrible relationships and don't know how to change the channels of our mind. Sometimes our channel is the self-hatred I was talking about. You're always finding what's wrong with you. Sometimes the channel is what's wrong with the world. You know, how am I a victim to it? You know, what's going on? What are things that are out of control to fear? Why do people dislike me? You know, we have these negative thoughts, and this isn't everybody, but a majority of people, you know, will struggle with this. And a lot of people don't like to be alone with their thoughts and to be quiet because they feel tormented by this. So for those of you who struggle with this, be aware that that's a channel that might turn on and that sometimes it's a muscle to turn it off. And one way I combat that is if you're somebody who's always thinking of the stupid things you did or the ways that you aren't perfect in the way you show up in the world, start thinking of ways that you're proud of yourself for showing up in the world. Start thinking of yourself in ways that you can look at and say, you know, I gave my best effort. Whether, you know, it's a thought, you know, maybe you have a thought that comes in your mind, man, you sounded so stupid when you asked out this guy. You sounded so dumb. I mean, you should have said this differently. You should have said, instead go, okay, what was the good about this? Hey, I took a risk and did something. Why did I take this risk? Because I want to have a family someday. I want to have kids. And I want to meet my significant other, and I want somebody to love and share life with. And man, I took a risk. I'm so proud of myself for doing that. I'm going to learn from this. And learning to find the good, that's one way to train yourself out of those things. And the more you can do that, the more your brain can even start to release different stuff. So I want to get into like creativity. So when you allow yourself to be bored, especially when you're seeking ideas it's good to kind of, you know, kickstart the idea making machine. So for me, when I was creating the adventure challenge, when I was thinking of adventures to put into the books, I would go to certain areas like Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, Home Depot, whatever. And I would just look at random objects and think, huh, I wonder how I could have fun with this object. And my brain would just start to wander and think, oh, you could do this, you could do this, you could. I remember walking through, I think it was Target, and I looked at this ball of yarn. And I was like, I wonder what you could do with this ball of yarn. And my imagination started just wandering. And I was like, oh, man, you could take this ball of yarn and string it up all over a room. And then you could do like an obstacle course where you have to crawl through it without touching the yarn. Fast forward 4 years, and that's one of the more popular fun adventures in the family book that a lot of families do. So literally hundreds of thousands of families across the world have done this adventure that my brain thought of while I was bored and just seeking new ideas, seeking creativity. And a lot of us get stumped on projects. We procrastinate because we think that it's going to take a long time to sit down and just force ideas out. When really it's like sometimes the ideas come out when you're just driving through traffic, and instead of listening to a podcast, listening to garbage radio, or listening to music, it's just silent. And you're letting that silence fill the car, and you allow your brain to wander with minimal control. Obviously, like I said, changing the channel if it goes negative, and more letting your brain wander into ideas, opportunity, discussions, thought processes. Some people sing in the shower. I debate in the shower, and I have conversation in the shower. So a lot of times when I'm in the shower, what I'm doing is I'm giving a TED talk on a certain subject that I feel really intrigued by. And who knows if I ever actually get to give a TED talk someday. But I like to think of these ideas and articulate them verbally. So when I'm having conversation on a podcast, I'm a guest speaker, I'm doing public speaking or having, you know, dialogue with friends or peers, I've already done it. I've already put my thoughts together on certain subjects. So these are ways that I allow boredom to channel creativity and overflow. I know a lot of friends who are pursuing, you know, different crafts, you know, the entertainment industry, you know, pursuing music, pursuing acting. And I cannot tell you how much allowing boredom to breed creativity fuels the creative. I don't know. Is that redundant? Did I just make a really redundant statement? Whatever. But those of you who are, you're studying a script for a film you're going to be in, you know, you're breaking down, you're thinking, you have a song, you know, you have a series of songs for your EP, allowing quiet and even just meditating on the process, thinking about your script, thinking about your actions or your beats or your monologues, whatever, like thinking through them in complete silence while you're driving, being bored, you'll be so surprised at how many ideas come naturally versus you sit down to force yourself to be creative. You know, creativity is an interesting thing. It's kind of like the ocean, and it's kind of like waves. Like, you can go out and prepare to catch a wave, but you're not guaranteed a wave. You can go out into the ocean and it's just flat. And then, you know, you can go out and catch a million waves, and it's kind of unpredictable. And creativity is kind of like that. And I know creativity is a muscle that can be trained, but it's also the same way as you can train yourself as a surfer to go in and, like today, you know, went out to go surf, took a few friends, and one of the guys was newer, and it was a really bad surf day. But I've surfed so much that I know how to catch a wave on a bad surf day. So I catch maybe 5 or 6 waves, and he caught one. And it was like, well, you know, I have been training myself to where, whether it's a good surf day or a bad surf day, I'm able to stand up and catch a wave. And that can take time. And sometimes that's how it was with creativity. You train your brain to where when you force yourself to sit down on a good day or a bad day creatively, sometimes you get ideas and sometimes it flows. But then there are those days where naturally ideas are just going to flow and come out, but we have silenced it through constant distraction. And we really prohibit the flow of creativity when we're constantly distracted, especially by social media, especially by our smartphones. And so, I mean, this is one of the biggest things in my life that I'm kind of re-diving into and relearning and rediscovering. Everyone knows it's bad for your mental health to scroll through social media, but we don't see the direct consequences always, and so we're not motivated enough to stop scrolling. I have decided to take a 75-day break from social media to actually dive into this further and kind of pursue, you know, what does it look like to actually turn the noise off, to be able to bring creativity back into my brain and enjoy what it looks like to embrace the silence again. I know it's a lot harder for some people, especially depending on how addicted you are to social media, how addicted you are to scrolling. And especially if you don't have anything in life that you're specifically going after, it's a lot easier to just saturate your free time with social media. It's easier to saturate any open blank space with social media. But I'd say that if you are feeling like you're in a rut, especially if you're in a rut, this is a time where boredom is probably really, really needed. You know, I'm stuck, I'm in a rut, I don't know what to do next, I don't know what to go after. You know, maybe your brain has ideas, maybe inside there's ideas and processes and things that you know you actually do want to go after, but you're filling your life with so much noise, you can't even hear what the ideas are. And so I would say it's just as important, just as beneficial for highly motivated, high ambitious people, as much as the person who feels depressed, anxious, and doesn't know what to do with the next step, feels, you know, like they're going nowhere, they're stuck in a rut. So I would like to encourage anybody who's wanting to make forward progress to figure out ways to incorporate boredom into your life. What are ways? And I swear every time I make a podcast, I get messaged by parents and they're like, this doesn't work when you have kids. And I'm like, okay, well, instead of being a victim, let's actually figure out ways we can incorporate this into our lives, even with kids. Or, you know, I work, 70 hours a week. I don't have time to be bored. Sometimes it feels good just to turn your brain off with this. I'm like, great. Look, all of our lives are different and we're always going to find a reason to not implement something if we really don't want to. So I'm not trying to, you know, argue with those type of people. But I'm saying is there are opportunities in our life. If you have time to scroll on Instagram, you have time to incorporate boredom. It's as simple as that. I would like for you, this homework this week, to be to find moments in your day where you can allow yourself to be bored. That could literally be you're taking a dump on the toilet, and instead of scrolling, you're just sitting there. Obviously, in the shower. My favorite is when I'm driving. I love driving in complete silence. It drives my friends crazy. If we're driving somewhere on a road trip or anyone I've dated in the past, and they're like, turn some music on. And I'm like, I actually just really like the quiet. And I like listening to music and podcasts and audiobooks as well, but there's just something really beautiful that I've found in driving when it's just silence. And I can just think and process, wonder, create, and ideate. So that's your homework for the week. Find some opportunities to be bored and lean into it. Tap into creativity. Change the channel if it gets negative. Thank you so much. Oh, look at this. This is probably the shortest episode ever. Thank you guys for lending me 19 minutes of your time. Feel free to rate, review, subscribe. If you like this episode, feel free to share it with your friends. Have a good one. Cheers.